verification. 10 for an ID. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Rutgers a winner in a big way here today. Rutgers 78, Wisconsin 56. We're back with the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show in a couple of minutes. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
A business intelligence analyst is being sought by Renaissance Learning, Inc. in Wisconsin Rapids to collaborate with functional area teams in providing data-driven insights for decision-making. Up to 100% telecommuting is permitted, with a salary between $68,000 and $102,000 per year. The position requires a bachelor's degree in data science, data analytics, or a related quantitative field, plus 2 years of experience as a data analyst or related occupation. The 2 years of experience must include 2 years of experience with each of the following: providing data-driven insights for decision-making by aggregating data, using SQL skills in a relational database management system, and creating automated databases for data pull. Interested candidates must submit their resume to Liz Rengifo at immigration@renaissance.com. Reference job code 041.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine! Quick penguin, serpentine!
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on locally grown radio.
And the Ad Council.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by your Wisconsin Ford dealers, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Fabic Cat, your cat equipment dealer throughout Badgerland. SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Visit uwsportsmedicine.org. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
Long day for the Wisconsin Badgers here in Piscataway. All Rutgers Scarlet Knights this afternoon, 78 to 56. And it started poorly, briefly showed signs of stabilizing for Wisconsin. But Butchie, Rutgers jumps to a 9-0 lead. They get a back screen lob to Cliff Amore right off the opening tip, basically, and just rocked Wisconsin with the press. It's amazing to see they only ended up with 12 turnovers, but 10 of those in the first half, and just they never got closer than 10 the rest
of the
way.
And that's what, again, we talked earlier to start the game off, what was going to be important: transition. Rutgers was able to score in transition. Offense, rebounding. I thought Rutgers got enough in key offense rebounds where they scored off of those. Three-point shooting, Wisconsin didn't knock down nearly enough three-pointers. But it was getting off to a good start, building some confidence after that Michigan game. And they just never could get it.
No.
Never could get there.
Well, Rutgers just dominant force. And among other things today, Rutgers, a bad three-point shooting team coming into the game, was really good today. 10 of 17 from downtown, including 7 of 10 in the second half. But the Badgers continue to struggle from long range now over the last four games. And you're talking about a 25% shooting team from the three-point line, just 5 of 21 here this afternoon. 78-56, Rutgers takes down Wisconsin. More of our Ford Dealers postgame shows coming up in 3 minutes. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Monday, you're already late for work. You scramble, putting on pants while brushing your teeth in the dark. And you're starving. But the only thing in the fridge... Friday night's leftovers. Oof. A three-day-old curry beef burrito for breakfast? Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells? Better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com. That's WEABenefits.com. WEA Member Benefits is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, Tony Drake with Drake & Associates, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. How do you prepare for the big game? You strategize, right? Well, retirement is your ultimate big game. And without a solid plan, it's like stepping onto the court without practice. But here's the game changer. Claim your retirement ready toolkit for free from Drake & Associates. Just text Bucky to 262-600-2782. That's Bucky to 262-600-2782. Our retirement ready roadmap is your playbook for financial success. Let's slam dunk your retirement goals together, because at Drake & Associates, we're your winning strategy for a financial game plan.
Drake & Associates is an independent investment advisory firm that offers different investment vehicles. All insurance products are backed by the issuing insurance company. This commercial is provided for informational purposes only.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts,
the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
How do you master the game of basketball? With ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We build a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine, constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. Brian Butch making his way down to have a chat with head coach Greg Gard as Rutgers defeats Wisconsin, and very handily so today, 78-56. Really good balance with the Scarlet Knights. And Jeremiah Williams, we talked about him before the game, his third game back here with Rutgers this season, and he has really changed this team. 18 points, 7 assists for him today. Noah Fernandes, 5 of 5 from the three-point line, also had a layup, 17 points for him. Cliff Omori, 13 points, 13 rebounds, 8 blocks. Very close to a triple-double, but one of the prolific shot blockers in all of college basketball, and pretty good outing the other way as well with the scoring and the rebounding work. 13 and 13. 12 for Mawat Mag, 11 for Andre Hyatt, and on down the line, 3 for Derek Simpson, 2 points for Jamichael Davis, and 2 for Gavin Griffiths. Wisconsin led by Connor Esegin with 15 points. A.J. Storr ends up with 14, but he was 5 of 16 from the field, so 16 shots to get his 14 points. He was 4 of 5 at the foul line. 7 points, 12 rebounds for Tyler Wall. 7 points, 13 rebounds for Stephen Crowell. 3 for Max Klesman. Just 1 of 7 Max was from the field. 1 of 5 from long range. 5 points for Nolan Winter. 2 for Isaac Lindsay. 2 for Chucky Hepburn. And 1 for Carter Gilmore. Rutgers 78, Wisconsin 56. When we continue, we'll check out the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Back in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different. and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
The Ad Council.
Postgame report continues. Rutgers 78, Wisconsin 56. A check of the Nissan out of town scoreboard. Top ranked UConn continues to roll, defeating Georgetown 89-64. Other games getting late. Alabama over LSU 107-90 in the final minute of that game in Baton Rouge. Creighton in control over Xavier 66-49, about 8.5 minutes remaining in that game. Lamont Paris and South Carolina leading Vanderbilt 46-38, about 15.5 minutes left in that game. Duke and Boston College in the early going. Likewise, Illinois and Michigan State in East Lansing, very early minutes of that game. Later today in the Big Ten, Maryland will take on Ohio State. That's a 3 o'clock tip Central Time. At 5:30 this afternoon, Nebraska, which is been just terrific on the home floor, will host Michigan. And then tonight at 7 o'clock Central, it's Purdue against Indiana. So the Badgers losing today now fall to 8-5, a half a game ahead of Northwestern. But now two down in the loss column to Illinois. We'll see how the Illini game with Michigan State fares, and Purdue leading the pack with a 10-2 record. Rutgers improves to 5-7, but with the two Badger losses this week against teams with a combined Big Ten record of 8-16. A bad week for the Badgers. We'll see how they respond moving forward, a Tuesday night home game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Rutgers a winner, 78-56. We'll have more of our postgame coverage. The Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show returns in 3 minutes. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Gear up for your winter adventures with Gates Sportline Recreational Belts. The belts specifically designed for snowmobiles, RVs, and all-terrain vehicles. Gates Power Sports Belts are built for the cold. So stop by your locally owned bumper-to-bumper auto parts store today and ask our expert staff to help you. Choose top-quality Gates Power Sports Belts and conquer the cold this winter. Only from your local bumper-to-bumper auto parts stores. And thank you for shopping locally. Service is the difference. We get it.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Sean Cleary here. I have been told we need to include a younger demo in our commercials. So like your local sports teams, I thought I would bring a DJ to stay.
They're rebuilding in the house. Or shed.
Whoa. Maybe we need to work on that. He is right, though. Check us out at clearybuilding.com for the building of your dreams. Sean Cleary out.
We continue with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers post-game show as Rutgers takes down Wisconsin here this afternoon, 78-56. Just trying to cue up the post-game chat that Butchie had with head coach Greg Gard. We've got a little technical issues up here, but he was able to catch up with the head coach. No doubt the theme is going to be able to handle that early pressure from Rutgers, and Wisconsin just could not do that. 10 of the 12 turnovers coming in the first half of play. Points off turnovers ended up being 15-5 in favor of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And you couple that with Rutgers all of a sudden becoming a dead-eye shooting team from the three-point line, 10 of 17. It's the kind of thing that happens in the course of any organized sport. The team's weakness all of a sudden becomes a strength, and also a strength of Rutgers remain that way, and that's defensively. They came in number two nationally in defensive efficiency.
We're here with Coach.
And a Wisconsin team that is scoring at a clip not seen in some 30 years held to 56 points here today. And it's also not helping the Badgers as they have just gone stone cold in this four-game losing streak from the three-point line. That has been a good statistic for Wisconsin this season, high 30s in Big Ten play, but now you're looking at about 25% shooting from long range for Wisconsin in the midst of this streak, 23 of 90, a matter of fact. So we will take another break as Rutgers wins it 78-56. Are we good to go? Yep, actually, we're good to go. We have the interview ready. Brian Butch standing by with head coach Greg Gard. Actually, we'll go ahead and take one more break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Rutgers wins by 22. Back in a moment. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravelle.
Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
Hey, it's Matt LePay. You're listening to Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball on WFHR, locally grown radio, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, a civic media station. Download our free civic media app in the Google Play or App Store. Listen to Wisconsin Athletics all season long on your local civic media radio station.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
attacked. Didn't make the best decisions all the time, okay, but at least we put pressure on the rim when he was in there and was able to attack. But we have to have more guys. Max getting in foul trouble didn't help because it gives us an experienced, aggressive guard sitting on the bench, and I've got to go deeper in the bench that's not ready or as capable in this type of game. So that's the biggest thing, is you got to turn the pressure against him, and we let the pressure get to us, forces into some bad shots, forces into way too many turnovers in the first half. And again, you just fueled their confidence and their aggression, and that's how they play when they get it rolling. You've got to find ways to not let that momentum for them get going.
Defensively, did you like what you guys did tonight? Some areas of improvement for you?
In places. I mean, they hit some tough shots, too. They obviously hit more threes than they've hit in a long time. But that all comes from confidence of what they were able to generate through other parts of the game.
Thanks so much, Coach. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Pretty simple here today. Rutgers just came out and hit Wisconsin right between the eyes, and the Badgers were just not able to recover from that as the Scarlet Knights win 78-56. That'll do it for us here in Piscataway. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Ryan Bexton back at our network studio, this is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Tuesday night as the Badgers host the Ohio State Buckeyes. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Spectacular. Over the course of his time as governor, he has been very consistent on Georgia being the number one place to do business, despite maybe some consternations of some Republicans about he's willing to work with Democrats on things that make sense, not particularly around the economy.
And aside from high marks on the economy, Kemp stared on with Trump over his rants of election fraud, gave him credence with independents and suburban women. She consistently lagged in the polls. Kemp got less than 50% in 18. In the rematch in 2022, he got 53%. But if you're a political junkie of any stripe, it was the Senate race that was fascinating. Senator Raphael Warnock, an Atlanta preacher, was elected in a runoff in 2020. Republicans blamed his win on Trump's election fraud claims, which had the dubious distinction of depressing Republican turnout and motivating anti-Trump suburban women. The GOP was amped up for a rematch. But then Trump, eager to prove them wrong and also hell-bent on revenge, pushed beloved University of Georgia football star Herschel Walker through the primary.
It is now a great pleasure to announce the winner of the 1982 Heisman Memorial Trophy from the University of Georgia, Herschel Walker.
But two major issues quickly framed the race. Character and an explicit appeal by Warnock's campaign to swing voters and independents, something rarely seen these days. Well, let's tackle character first. Here's one of my favorite campaign pratfalls of all time, the 2016 presidential race and Rick Perry's duh moment.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Five.
Yeah, okay. So five. Commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's stop deficit.
Seriously?
Now, maybe I can understand that a little bit. There are 438 federal agencies. Let's cut them some slack. But check this out. When Herschel Walker announced for the Senate, he spoke finally of his son. Son, as in singular. But, oops, suddenly there was another son.
New at 11, Republican Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker is acknowledging a second son.
Previously, Walker hadn't publicly mentioned a 10-year-old son. His campaign confirmed the child after the Daily Beast reported Tuesday that the boy's mother had taken Walker to court to establish paternity for child support back in 2014. Walker's campaign says he has supported the child and that the suggestion that he hit his son is, quote, offensive and absurd.
And as they say in late night TV commercials, wait, there's more.
One day after admitting to having fathered a second son, Georgia U.S. Senate candidate Herschel Walker now says that he's the father of another son as well as a daughter. Until earlier this week, Walker had only publicly mentioned his 22-year-old son, Christian Walker. Well, this morning news broke of a third son out of wedlock who is now 13 years old and now an adult daughter who was born when he was the running back star for the University of Georgia.
Okay, forgetting the name of one cabinet agency is a little awkward, but three other kids? Melita Easters, a Georgia Democratic strategist, could not believe it.
I like to say that when the former president designated Walker his favorite U.S. Senate candidate for Georgia, nobody had vetted Walker. When you vet candidates, you like to have them walk onto the campaign trail with a carry-on roller bag. Walker was dragging steamer trunks. And those trunks full of baggage scuttled his campaign, especially with suburban women voters.
Listen to this Georgia focus group. Here's the background. 11 people who voted for Trump in 16 and switched to Biden in 20. Seven of them are Republicans, two are Democrats, and two are independents. And for the record, eight of the 11 voted for Governor Kemp. Rich Thau runs what he calls the Swing Vote Project in partnership with Axios. Rich is masterful in drawing out what people think. And here the single issue is very clear. It's character.
I don't think I felt comfortable trusting Walker at all. I mean, as far as his, past goes with women and I know you can't believe everything, but I just didn't get a good feeling about it.
Walker, the guy has documented split personalities.
And I came to the conclusion that, okay, this guy is just not a political leader. I'm not going to put somebody in office who I don't feel has no knowledge of, like, politics.
Clearly, the Warnock campaign was hearing these same themes in its own research. Listen to the language in his commercials directly appealing to ticket splitters.
I'm a lifelong Republican.
I'm an independent.
I usually vote Republican.
But there is no way that I can vote for Herschel Walker.
The lies and the bizarre statements, I just don't get it. I vote for the person, not the party. So I'm voting for Raphael Warnock.
He has the best interest of Georgia in mind.
Remember early on in the episode, Professor Burden talked about ticket splitting peaking in the 90s. Since I represented a swing district in that era, I routinely ran ads talking about working with Democrats on issues like family and medical leave, which many Republicans opposed. But in an age of vicious campaign ads, Warnock doubled down and pivoted and used the long-abandoned playbook. CNN political commentators were gobsmacked.
Things work surprisingly well together.
Pizza with pineapple.
French fry and frosty.
Raphael Warnock and Ted Cruz?
That's right. Raphael Warnock partnered with Republican Ted Cruz to extend I-14, connecting military communities in Texas and Georgia.
Now, I can't say with certainty that Ted Cruz has never appeared in a Democratic Senate ad before, but I can't remember it.
I don't know what the benefit of naming Ted Cruz is if you're a Democrat in Georgia.
No, I know, but what it says to me, it sounds like they're going after independent voters.
Smart politics is Atlanta Democratic strategist Melita Easters, and actually a pretty good message for the body politic as a whole.
When we are at gridlock, as we are as a country, then you want to think that there are people who can work across the aisle. And so by dropping the name of a Republican many Democrats do not like, and even some Republicans do not like, he showed he could work across the aisle. And if we are ever to cure the gridlock, which has Washington at a standstill on many important issues, we have to have people who can work across the aisle.
Look, you can tell by the tone of this podcast, I'm a fan of ticket splitting. But Professor Kondek makes the case it might be a nice romantic idea, but if you believe in a party's political philosophy, strong government programs if you're a Democrat, less taxes and regulations if you're a Republican, a split ticket means you never accomplish anything.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think there's like a certain kind of paint-by-numbers quality to politics now, which I think from a candidate's perspective is probably kind of disheartening. If someone says, I vote Democratic in every election because I believe in X, Y, and Z, or I vote Republican in every election because I believe in A, B, and C, I'm not going to sit here and tell that person that they're wrong for never voting for the other party. Because there's not necessarily a logical to not the ticket split. It's just that I do feel like if fewer people's votes are sort of up for grabs, it probably makes politicians, particularly if you're the dominant party in a given state, probably are maybe less responsive. Maybe that leads to more corruption and that sort of thing because people feel like they can never lose. Like I look at Ohio recently, you know, as Democrats have sort of faded as an alternative, you have seen a number of pretty legitimate big scandals and I would say kind of cocky behavior.
But I think what happened in the fall of 22 is a much better model, and I'm not the only one. Here's Saba Long one more time.
I think ticket splitters are great. You know, I talk a lot on my podcast about the need for competitive districts, the need to reconsider, you know, who's able to qualify as a candidate. You know, you see more and more often that candidates are wealthy and they're able to put in millions and millions of their own dollars. So for me, a ticket splitter means that you're going to have a more diverse political perspective. And it's not one party drowning out the views and concerns and thoughts of another. I'm all for it.
Jennifer is a mid-50s white woman, again, from Rich's focus group in Atlanta.
I was a straight ticket Republican, and I felt that the issues and character were at play. And I think that Kemp does well on the economy. I think that Warnock has shown progress with issues. And so I knew going in that I was going to do a split ticket and that it was different than before. It felt liberating.
How so?
Well, you know, in the past, I felt like I had to be consistent with the party line. And I think we're allowed more these days to color outside the lines. It feels more comfortable to do that, to get it right.
Absolutely. Think, pause, get it right. Here's the team behind Lost in the Middle. Executive producer Jeff Mayers. Producer Todd Elbaugh. Creative team Claudia Luz and Tony Wood. Edited by Aaron Zummers. Music by Brett William. Production at Civic Media. And a quick thanks to our partners at the American Property Owners Alliance.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. There are concerns among voters and at the White House over a special counsel report saying 81-year-old President Biden has a hazy memory. Former President Trump has also shown signs of memory problems at campaign events. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
This has been very damaging for Biden, and it will continue to be for the rest of the campaign, whatever the outcome.
Civilians in a southern Gaza city are dealing with a new Israeli assault as it tries to destroy Hamas. More than a million have been displaced, and many have no homes now. This man says through an interpreter, he's tired of fleeing.
Where shall we go? If they try to pressure us to migrate to Egypt, we will not go to Egypt or any other place.
Celebrations in Sydney. It is the Lunar New Year, and it's the Year of the Dragon. There is lion dancing and festivals, and many are hoping for prosperity and some good luck. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigeria.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at Super Bowl 58. In the NBA, the Bucks beat the Hornets 120-84. The Bucks' new guard, Patrick Beverley, entered the game at the end of the first quarter to a standing ovation. Beverley on what the past 24 hours like after being traded to Milwaukee from Philadelphia.
Man, it's been, you know, NBA world. Obviously, as a player, everything happened so fast, obviously. You know, my time with the Sixers was great. And I was playing some of my best basketball I think I've ever played. Yeah, I didn't see this coming.
NFL Jordan Love here in Vegas conducting interviews. I asked him how the Packers went from 2-5 to making the playoffs last year.
You know, it was a tough stretch we had. You know, we went on a 4-game losing streak, but you know, it's really a credit to the whole team, man. Everybody stuck together. No one pointed fingers. You know, everyone found ways to improve their game, and you know, that's kind of what I did too. Just found ways to settle in a little bit more, focus on what I need to focus on, and control what I control.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love from Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the low 30s. Northwest winds at about 15 to 20 miles per hour. Clear tonight, 19. Becoming sunny on your Sunday, a little breezy again with highs in the mid-30s. 39 on Monday, 37 on your Tuesday.
It's 30 at our studios.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You've been listening to Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans on Civic Media. Now here's some bonus content with the creator, Scott Klug, and our own Todd Albaugh.
Down the path here, a little ticket splitters, and you point out that not just in Wisconsin ward base, but across the country, people tend to kind of divide their vote a little bit. But I'm struck by a person we had on, or you had on in a former episode, Sean Trend from Real Clear Politics. Yes, Todd, you can say it. And he said he used this term I thought was great: closet partisans. People say they're independent, but they really vote one way. We're in a presidential election year in 2024. Don't people tend to kind of start clicking the top for the presidency and keep going all the way down?
Well, yes and no. There's a great political answer, right? That's my favorite color, plaid. You know, that's sort of the way it goes when you're in politics. I think that that's an interesting question, and we're actually doing an episode coming up soon just on independent voters, because they're growing so quickly, especially under the age of 30. People don't like to join either political party. And you see in clusters of the country, like New Hampshire, the largest registration is for what New Hampshire calls unaffiliated. If you look at Nevada, the largest voting block at this point are independents. So the question is, this just sort of a fad, or does this mean the two-party system is basically kind of crumbling in our hands? I think it's too early to really tell that. One of the other things about independents, it's true that they have a proclivity to vote one side or the other. But if you look, for example, in the 2020 election, let me back up, in the 12 election, people who self-described as independents voted heavily for Obama. In 16, they voted heavily for Trump. In 20, they came back to Biden. So there is a group that just sort of moves around and picks whatever they want. And people who are independents, I think, have a high tendency to be ticket splitters as well. And if you sort of distill this down about the big presidential election that's coming up, you know, the Democratic National Committee just committed, I think, $500 million in advertising. Mm-hmm. And as we sit here in Madison and we look up, we can see the B-52s opening up their bay doors, because we're about to get carpet bombed again, as are all the swing states. And then if you look, for example, the University of Virginia does a really good job measuring politics. And one of the guests we're going to have on today with a little bit of extended interview is part of their political science department. But Larry Sabato, who runs it, basically says the whole presidential election is going to come down to probably four, maybe seven states. Mm. And so the four that there's likely to come down to are Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, for sure. There's a couple of other states, Michigan and Pennsylvania, which lean a little more Democratic, and North Carolina, which becomes more Republican. For years, there used to be this map with more swing states, but a lot of them have crystallized in one direction or another. So, for example, in New England, a lot of those states that were swing states now are probably pretty solidly Democratic, with maybe the exception of New Hampshire. If you look, Georgia's a really interesting case. Before 2000, it was solidly Democratic.
Yeah.
A governor got elected, flipped the legislature, then that flipped the congressional seats. And for probably 20 years, it was solidly Republican, like crazy red Republican. And now with the explosive growth of the Atlanta suburbs, there's a whole purple ring around it. But those voters are likely to be the people who ticket split. The question will come down to how much will they actually make that decision in a presidential year. In fact, if you want to go down to a micro level, there are actually, again, same analysis done by Larry Sabato. There are basically 43 congressional districts in four states that will essentially will give you the clue who's going to win the president.
Wow.
So all this money that's going to get spent, all kinds of places, really focused on that set of seven states, is at the end of the day really going to come down to just 43 of the congressional districts. And, you know, we're in a district now, as we record this, that's solidly Democratic. But if you take a look at some of the other states around the country, they may lean Republican a little bit more than they do here. So ticket splitters have historically been very widespread, as you'll hear from our two guests, largely through about 2010. And then as the parties became far more tribal, as we've seen with Trump's arrival, that means the ticket splitters have largely disappeared in presidential years. But they still hang around in midterm elections. They did in 2022, where they split their votes for governor and split their vote for senators. So it'll be an interesting election to watch as we get closer to the end of the year.
You've pointed this out in the episode. Wisconsin, where we're at, is a little goofy politically in terms of we have a Republican in the U.S. Senate, Ron Johnson, another one, Tammy Baldwin, who's a Democrat, also in the U.S. Senate, and we have a Democratic governor, Tony Evers. Wisconsin kind of swings both ways, so to speak. But we get into 2024. We're going to hear from Kyle Klondike in a minute. He's not quite as optimistic maybe as you. And does it come down to what you just said, Scott, tribalism in partisan politics?
It does in presidential elections. And I didn't finish my thought before. If you look at a number of states we used to assume would be battleground states and ticket splitting states, they really aren't anymore. I mean, Iowa is very Republican. Same thing is true for Ohio. I mean, in Ohio, the incumbent Republican governor won with 66% of the vote. And if you haven't listened to our first episode, we're going to put a plug in for the one on, 71 bewildered political orphans, because Ohio is a great success story for those of us who are looking for parties to actually collaborate to solve issues, because it has a bipartisan speaker elected by Republicans and Democrats, where Republicans had the majority, but the Democrats join with sort of the centrist old school business Republicans to elect a bipartisan speaker. And there, you know, now there's really not much of a question, I think, that Florida's a toss-up state either. So back to the thing, the battleground states keep getting smaller and smaller. And the truth is, in elections like this, you may have some ticket splitters, but they get overwhelmed by the hard partisans.
Set it up for us. We're going to hear from Kyle Klondike in an extended interview.
Yeah, so Kyle's a political science professor at Virginia, and he would say I'm wildly myopic and optimistic about ticket splitters, which I like from a philosophical background. It had been steadily shrinking over the years, but it exploded in 2022 all across the country.
Yeah, you could still find states where there's like a huge gap between like maybe a governor and a Senate election in a given year. Like if you look at Vermont, for instance, you know, Democrats won the Senate race there, replaced Patrick Leahy by like 40 points. At the same time, Phil Scott, kind of a classic kind of old school Yankee Republican moderate. He won by about 40 points himself. So there's like an 80 point gap between Senate and governor. So obviously a ton of people were voting, you know, Republican for governor and Democratic for Senate. You saw that in New Hampshire to a lesser degree with Chris Sununu winning pretty comfortably and Maggie Hassan winning by almost 10 points herself, smaller margin than Sununu, but still doing quite well. But, you know, in a lot of other parts of the country, the ticket splitting is not, you don't necessarily see it as much. And just overall, there's been a great alignment between the presidential voting in a given place and how that place votes for Senate and for House. So if you look at all 100 Senate seats, there are only five senators out of the 100 who represent states that their party did not win in the 2020 presidential election. There are just two Republicans in Biden seats or states, Susan Collins of Maine, and then Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who just won a very close reelection bid in 2022. And then there are three Democrats in Trump states, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, John Tester of Montana, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. All three of them are on the ballot in 2024. It seems possible that one or more will end up losing. So that could even reduce further the number of these so-called crossover senators. And then at the House level, if you go back to like the 70s and 80s, it was pretty common in like a presidential year like 1976 for there to be like a quarter or even a third of the House districts that voted for one party for president and the other party for House. And frankly, I think you're like a good example of that from the 90s. Like, you know, your district was voting Democratic for president, but you were still able to win. And you would be a real outlier today in a way that maybe you weren't. I'd be curious of your own comments on this, that you weren't in the 90s. Like, in the 90s I think in more like in the 80s and heading into the early 90s, like when Bill Green represented the Upper East Side in Manhattan, you know, that was a hugely Democratic district, but there was this long kind of like Rockefeller Republican lineage in that district going back to like John Lindsay and other people. And so he was able to represent that seat. Silvio Conti in Western Massachusetts was another one who was a, you know, moderate Republican in a pretty Democratic area. More recently, Colin Peterson in Western Minnesota, you know, he was holding down a district that Trump won by 30 points, but he finally lost in 2020. And so, okay. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Yeah. He would have been elected, what, 1990. Yeah. You know, those kinds of members used to be more common and now they're true outliers. And so in 2022, there were only 23 members out of 435 who were elected from a district that their party did not carry in 2020 for president, 18 Republicans in Biden won districts and five Democrats in Trump won districts. And in 2020, the actual presidential year was only 16 total, which was the lowest total since at least 100 years ago. The records are not as great before World War II and are not necessarily comparable for a number of different reasons. You had like some statewide at large seats and other things. But the bottom line is that the level of ticket splitting is comparable to that of the late 1800s and early 1900s, which is to say there's maybe not as much ticket splitting as there once was, you know, a generation or two, ago. I think part of it is that the parties are more clearly ideologically aligned, so that, you know, it used to be a generation or two, particularly in like the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, some of basically the most liberal and the most conservative members in Congress were Democrats. You know, they lived within the same party. You had a lot of conservative Southern Democrats, but you also had kind of more moderate / conservative Democrats even outside of the South too. And also you had, you had the Republicans also had a more ideologically kind of diverse coalition between, you know, some of the most conservative members of Congress, but also some people who definitely would profile as sort of like liberal Democratic today, particularly in the Northeast. like when when Jim Jeffords left the GOP to swing control of the Senate right after George W. Bush won election, you know, Jeffords was not like some sort of strong conservative or something, but he was a Republican, but he found that he didn't really belong in that party anymore. And, you know, over the years, you've had some instances where, you know, people are switching parties and the whole thing is that just the parties are more ideologically distinct than they used to be. So now you have basically all the liberals in the Democratic Party, all the conservatives are in the Republican Party. The parties are much more aligned on issues like abortion rights, economic issues. I think that the parties are more aligned. And so, you know, in some ways you could say it's good for the public because they have clearer choices. Like, and you know, it's also not illogical to not want to split your ticket, because if you are a Democrat or you're a liberal, like, you're probably going to want a liberal agenda in Congress. And so it's easy to just vote down the line for Democrats or likewise on the Republican side. But I guess the problem is that, you know, maybe you don't have as much of a kind of a moderate centrist caucus, and maybe that, you know, makes lawmaking more difficult and things get more rancorous.
So that was Kyle Condyke. Again, maybe not quite so optimistic as you, Scott. We're going to hear now from Barry Burden, who again brings up this point of Wisconsin, where we're based at. And you know, it moves around. It's just not static. What is that? Is it the candidates or is it the polarization of both parties?
I think it's just we're a little quirky. I mean, I think there are, well, no, I mean, if you look, so there's a strong tradition of independence in New Hampshire.
What's wrong with having an old fashioned at 3 a.m. or, you know, 4, whatever.
Yeah. So Wisconsin, I think, is unusual. And we do bounce all over the place. You know, again, as we saw in the last election in 2022, a Republican senator gets reelected and the Democratic governor gets reelected. And you could not find two more polar opposite people politically or personally. Barry would essentially make the case in some ways it's almost hardwired into our DNA, and it's hard to explain why it is. But again, as we talked about, there's a number of places and 7 other states around the country that will make decisions, and they may split their votes on presidential tickets, but the independents, the ticket splitters, will be so small that Barry says in a lot of cases it really doesn't matter anymore. It's a nice little historical fact we had from the 90s.
Here's Barry Burden in an extended clip from Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug.
It feels contradictory in a way. Ticket splitting has definitely been on the decline for a couple of decades now. And yet in some key races, you can see where it really matters, particularly when there are 2 maybe statewide races on the same ballot at the same time, and they go in different directions, as sometimes happens in these swing states. But if we dig a little deeper, I think we can understand why the contradiction has happened. So, you know, the height of ticket splitting was probably in the late 80s or early 90s. There were lots of voters, especially who voted for Republican presidents, Reagan and Bush, but voted for Democratic members of Congress. It was a very common pattern. Something like a quarter of voters in those elections were splitting their tickets. So on the same ballot, voting for a presidential candidate and congressional candidate of different office. And that was partly because those incumbents really had a kind of name recognition and familiarity and a lot of advantages. And there were a lot of uncontested races where incumbents wouldn't be challenged or wouldn't be challenged seriously. But that has fallen off. The value of being an incumbent has dwindled to a really small amount, meaningful in some races, but small. The number of uncontested races for Congress has gone almost to zero. There are almost no congressional districts where there isn't somebody on the other side, at least. And as a result, the amount of ticket splitting going on at that level, at least, has really dwindled. But again, it's not to zero and it's not inconsequential. It tends to matter most in states like Wisconsin or Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, where you have these very competitive statewide races. And even a small number of people, 5% of voters or 8% of voters, going back and forth between the parties could change the outcomes even on the same ballot. So it's made this small group more important in a way, but in battleground states, at least, where races seem to be on the knife edge and could fall either direction.
So tell me about why it shrunk so much. What changed between, you know, 1998 and 25 years later?
So you could think of it as kind of a race between candidate-centered politics and party-centered politics. And in the 70s and 80s, parties were more heterogeneous. It was possible to be a conservative or moderate Democrat or to be a liberal Republican. There's a lot of overlap between the parties. Voters sort of couldn't see exactly what the party stood for because there was a lot of blurring of the lines, and that made it easier for voters to move back and forth and for incumbents to really shine in that environment. Sure. But as the parties have moved apart, the blurring of the boundaries is no longer there. It's very clear which side you're on and what, and the stakes are much greater. And so candidates are not able to differentiate themselves the way they used to. You know, even good candidates sometimes get swept up in waves that take them out of office, or candidates we might think are not great sometimes benefit from being on the right, in the right party at the right time, in the right place. So it's really that competition between partisanship as the main driver or thinking about candidates as the main driver. And there's been a really dramatic shift in the direction of parties being the dominant factor for voters, at least. And again, that really accelerates in the 80s and 90s. And by the time we get to the 2000s, partisanship is just so ubiquitous. It doesn't leave a lot of room for candidates to differentiate themselves.
That's Barry Burton, and an extended clip there, Scott. And one of the things that I found interesting, what he said, was this point that even some good candidates sometimes get swept up in waves that take them out of office or a certain candidate. As you look at 2024, how do you apply that into this year's elections?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that especially in presidential elections, you can get swept out based on the tide. And unfortunately, we have more and more voters in the country who basically vote based on tribal instincts, right? It's sort of, we not only don't respect what you say anymore, we hate you. I mean, That's really what it comes down to. And so it's created this horrible climate. One of the episodes you may want to check out if you haven't already is our episode about civility and about a woman's fight in Utah to essentially try to restore civility to it. And the other thing I think we have to remember is there have been some interesting games going on. It'll be fun to watch it this time, because in 2022, the Democrats spent millions and millions of dollars essentially trying to defeat the moderate candidate by boosting the conservative candidate. And one of the things we're going to explore in that episode is the fact, is that good politics? Because you could end up electing a lot of election deniers if things go on at the polls. And on the other hand, there's some questions just about the ethics of it. So if you look in far southwestern Michigan, a very good candidate, Congressman Meyer, was the sort of centrist that everybody says they want to elect these days. So what they did is they ran ads boosting the more conservative candidate simply so that they'd say, well, Todd Elbaugh's too conservative for the district. He's for gun control. He's for gun rights. He's pro-life. He's done all this stuff, which did very cleverly get the conservative base all geeked up for him. And then Meyer got swept out of office. And so that's a tactic, I think, to watch in elections around whether our primaries, whether the Democrats will play again and try to kick out the more competitive moderate.
Scott Klug, I'm Todd Elbaugh. Stay tuned. More of her Lost in the Middle in our next episode.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Nyheim Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is